Today, the volatility squeeze. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Today we give you our market update for the week. And boy, it's been a wild ride this week. We continue to see massive swings in prices. I need to remind you that while major players continue to benefit from these wild gyrations in perceived value, as shown in recent trading results, for example, not least because the major players can program trade using algos and also harvest income from the movements, it's true that retail investors hardly benefit because they're always behind the trade, unable to benefit from the dark pools and high-speed trading. So it's an unequal game. Anyway, let's take Friday, for example, where US stocks rallied with the Dow Jones posting its biggest one-day percentage gain since January the 6th, as shares in Apple surged by more than 4% after upbeat results. And the US jobs data pointed to a resilient labor market. Adding to the bullish momentum, regional bank shares rebounded from declines tied to the collapse of First Republic Bank. Analysts upgraded the number of lenders that they said were oversold. PacWest Bancorp rallied 81.7% and Western Alliance Bancorp jumped 49.2%, while the KBW Regional Bank Index advanced 4.7%. Apple's quarterly results also cheered investors worried about a potential recession. The iPhone maker's shares hit their highest level in about 9 months, and the stock ended up 4.7% in its biggest daily percentage gain since last November. The stock was the biggest positive influence on all three major US stock indices. The US Labor Department's report showed job growth accelerated in April and wage gains increased solidly, suggesting the labor market has stayed strong despite recent interest rate hikes from the Federal Reserve. The US economy unexpectedly created jobs at a faster pace in April against substantial downward revisions in the preceding months, as the country's labor market does show signs of resilience, even as the Federal Reserve has signaled that it may push pause on a string of recent interest rate hikes. According to the data from the Labor Department's Bureau of Labor Statistics on Friday, non-farm payrolls rose by 253,000 last month. That was well above economist projections, and the figure was expected to be around 180,000. The numbers for the prior 2 months also were heavily revised. The change in March saw the US add something like 165,000 jobs. Instead of the original reading of 236,000, and in February the total was brought down to 248,000 from 326,000. As a result, the combined revisions are 149,000 down than previously reported. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate edged down to 3.4% from 3.5% in March, surprising expectations that it would accelerate to 3.6%. It's worth remembering, of course, the Fed signaled they expected unemployment to go higher. The month-on-month rate of growth in hourly earnings also moved up to 0.5%, rather than holding steady at 0.3% as originally predicted. That's the highest level since 2022. Despite all the economic slings and arrows, businesses continue to add strongly to their payrolls, said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, in a tweet. Underlying monthly job growth is close to 225,000. It's still a bit too strong to fully quell inflation, but moving in the right direction. Cooling strong labor demands and wage increases has been a key objective in the Fed's ongoing fight to defeat elevated inflation. The US central bank has rolled out an aggressive campaign of rate hikes in order to achieve that goal. But these headline job numbers were ones that matter to traders. And that told everyone that the Fed would likely have misgivings about pausing rate hikes in June, and we can expect higher rates ahead. Especially when Chair Jerome Powell had taken pains to point out at the press conference this week that the central bank's policy decisions going forward would be data-driven. Earlier this week, Jerome Powell hinted that policymakers could be starting to ponder an end to the cycle although the commentary was tempered by the central bank's reiteration that it would keep tightening further if inflation fails to moderate. With the jobs report, it's about the state of the US economy, and what we saw today suggests it's in a better position than previously expected, said Christina Hooper, chief global market strategist at Invesco in New York. We need a bit higher unemployment to further rein in wage growth, which was on the hot side last month, Zandi tweeted. This is key to getting inflation down enough to convince the Fed to stop raising rates. The two-year US Treasury yield, which closely tracks rate estimates, touched session highs following the publication of the jobs report. And investors have been worried that the rate hikes might eventually push the economy into recession. Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 1.65% to 33,674. The S&P 500 gained 1.85% to 4,136. And the Nasdaq Composite added 2.25% to 12,235. And the good old volatility index, its biggest one-day decline since March the 16th, but as I keep saying, pretty meaningless these days. Now, it's worth noting that the Dow and the S&P 500 still registered losses for the week, however, while the Nasdaq ended with a slight gain for the week. On Wednesday, the US Central Bank did raise its rates by 25 basis points as expected, but the Fed Chair Jerome Powell noted that it was too early to say with certainty that the rate hike cycle was over, as inflation remains the chief concern. And Apple did drive gains in other tech shares, but all 11 major S&P sectors were higher on Friday. The estimated decline in first quarter S&P 500 earnings, though, has been getting smaller since the start of the reporting season, and it is now at just 0.7% year over year, according to the most recent data. Now, over in Europe, European stock markets traded higher on Friday as well, as investors digested more corporate news flows, the European Central Bank monetary policy decision, and, of course, the US jobs report when it came out. The DAX index in Germany traded 1.44% higher, the FTSE in London climbed 0.98%, and the CAC 40 in France rose 1.26%. The earnings season continued in Europe, with Adidas stock climbing over 7% after the German sportswear giant's first quarter numbers came in better than expected, boosting hopes the German sportswear giant is turning its fortunes around. IAG stock rose 4% after the British Airways owner raised its 2023 profit forecast after posting a surprise first quarter profit on the back of strong ticket sales for summer and a winter season that beat expectations. Air France KLM also reported better than expected first quarter revenue and robust cash flow, but its stock tumbled 3.6% after the airline decided against providing a full year profit forecast. CaixaBank stock rose 1.8% after the Spanish lender reported a hefty rise in net profit in the first quarter from a year ago, benefiting from a strong increase in lending income and a solid performance in its insurance businesses. An Intercontinental Hotels Group stock fell 2.7% after the hotel operator announced CEO Keith Barr would step down from his role next month, overshadowing first quarter results buoyed by a recovery in Greater China. Investors are still digesting the implications of the ECB slowing the pace of its policy tightening on Thursday, delivering that quarter percentage point increase as expected. While ECB President Christine Lagarde indicated the central bank is not done with rate hikes yet, the bank also noted that previous increases were being, quote, transmitted forcibly into financing and monetary conditions. And evidence of deteriorating economic conditions came from the release of German factory orders, which slumped 10.7% in the month in March, a drop from the revised 4.5% growth in the prior month. Now, oil prices rose on Friday, but did remain on course for a third straight weekly loss, as concerns that slowing growth, exacerbated by the turmoil in the US banking system, will hit crude demand. US crude futures traded 4.03% higher to $71.32 a barrel, while the Brent contract climbed 3.96% to $75.37. For the week, Brent was set to close somewhere around 5% lower, while WTI was 6% lower. Now, the question about gold is, did gold bull's bubble just burst? Well, it appears so after the US Labor Department announced another stupendous jobs growth for April that presumably had the inflation fighters at the Federal Reserve shaking their heads ruefully. And the gold market responded accordingly to concerns that the Fed might not be done after all, with its rate hikes in June, with the spot price of bullion tumbling from the previous session's record high of above 2,080 US to under 2,000 US dollars at one point. Gold for June delivery on New York's COMEX settled at $2,024.60 an ounce, down 1.5% on the day, after a session low of just over 2,000. And on Thursday, COMEX gold for June hit an all-time high of 2,082. After finally hitting record high territory, gold is under pressure after a hot NFP report pushed back Fed rate cut bets. Ed Moyer, analyst on online trading platform Onya, said, referring to April's non-farm payrolls, "If banking worries continue to ease and the economy remains resilient, some policymakers may want to resume tightening." Notwithstanding that, gold still has a good chance to get back to a record-setting mood, said Moyer, pointing out that banking worries weren't about to go away anytime soon due to how exposed the regional banks were to commercial mortgages and the yellow metal standing as a safe haven against such concerns. "Regulators are scrambling and don't have a clear plan to address the regional banking crisis," Moyer said, adding that requiring big banks to provide money to fill the deposit insurance hole left by failed smaller banks was just another band-aid solution. Technically as well, gold was poised for a rebound after Friday's tumble, said Sunil Kumar-Dixit, chief technical strategist at SK Charting. A potentially bearish gravestone doji triggered a healthy pullback for spot gold towards support areas, Dixit said. Current levels can attract buyers back for resumption in the uptrend, testing perhaps in the 2048 to 2060 range initially and later even higher. Most Asian stocks rose slightly on Friday, recovering a measure of recent losses as markets awaited more cues on a brewing US banking crisis, while softer-than-expected economic readings saw Chinese markets lag their peers. Trading volumes were somewhat muted on account of market holidays in Japan and South Korea. China's Shanghai Composite Index fell 0.48% as a private survey showed that growth in the country's services sector unexpectedly slowed in April. While growth is still remaining close to a three-year peak, the reading, coupled with a surprise contraction in the manufacturing sector, drummed up concerns that a post-COVID economic rebound in the country was running out of steam. The Chinese government outlined more moves to support private investments in the country, which was still sluggish this year, even after the country relaxed most anti-COVID measures. But investors remain doubtful over the breadth of an economic recovery this year, given that the manufacturing sector, which is a key driver of growth, remains under pressure. Broader Asian markets crept higher on Friday, recovering from steep losses earlier this week as a sell down in US stocks spilled over. But most regional exchanges were still heading for weekly losses. Technology heavy indices rose the most, tracking strong results from the iPhone maker Apple. Hong Kong's Hang Seng, for example, added 0.42%, while the Taiwan weighted index rose 0.4%. Nevertheless, Asian bank stocks still remained under pressure after fears from contagion from the brewing US crisis. And the tapering in the US Federal Reserve's hawkish stance this week did little to boost Asian markets, as the central bank also warned of cooling economic growth this year. India's Nifty 50 index fell 0.5% in early trading on losses in heavyweight bank stocks, as the markets feared potential exposure to the recent Go First airline bankruptcy. Australia's ASX 200 index was somewhat of an outlier for the day, rising on stronger than expected results from the ANZ group. ANZ shares jumped nearly 2%, but the bank still warned of a credit slowdown in the coming months as Australian consumers grapple with high interest rates and inflation. As a result, the ASX 200 erased early losses on Friday to end the session 0.37% higher at 7,214 in a very volatile session, with real estate giants leading gains. The index, however, ended the week 1.2% lower for the third straight week, as investors fretted about the US regional banking sector and the prospect of a recession. ANZ took the spotlight after posting a record half-year cash profit of $3.82 billion, just above estimates of $3.81 billion. Its shares lifted 1.45% to $23.80 after investors cheered the small earnings beat. A day earlier, National Australia Bank stocks took a beating after missing forecasts and declaring a smaller-than-expected dividend. Macquarie Group shed 0.22% to $177.35, despite posting a record profit of $5.2 billion for its fiscal year ended March 31, as investors worried it was overly reliant on its lucrative commodities division. Net profit in the commodities and global markets rose 38% to $6.1 billion from the year earlier, as more customers hedged against volatile energy markets. NAB extended losses, dropping 0.52% to $26.58. CBA shares edged up 0.39% to $96.13, and Westpac firmed 0.5% to $21.35. Property was the clear standout, with Dexus rallying 3.1% to $7.98, closely followed by Goodman Group, which rose 3% to $20. Stockland climbed 2.3% to $4.52, and Centre Group increased 1% to $2.90. Gold miners were also in demand, with Romulus Mining rising 5.6% to $1.43, Evolution Mining firmed 2.3% to $3.96, and Newcrest Mining shares rose 2.2% to $29.80. Gold Road added 1.5% to Northern Star, advanced 1.5%. The precious metals price shot up by 3% this week, as heightened worries about US regional banks bolstered its safe haven appeal. Elsewhere, Medibank closed flat at $3.58. Law firm Slater & Gordon launched legal action against the private health insurer on behalf of customers for a massive data breach. And diagnostic testing company Australian Clinical Lab jumped 1.1% to $3.55. The company is reviewing its takeover bid offer for Healius, which raised concerns over certain conditions. And finally, in crypto land, Bitcoin reached a new May high before easing back to $23,295 US, tracking the broader markets. Some traders are calling this the baseline to higher highs ahead. Others are more sanguine, given the broader uncertainties. Interestingly, while some professional traders are using gold as a safe haven for now, some retail investors are preferring Bitcoin and other cryptos. Just remember, the true value of crypto remains unknowable, so safe might not be the word I would choose. And Ether was also up more than 2% to $1,944 US. And so here we are once again, more volatility, more swings, more roundabouts, and more difficulty tracking where we're going from now. And as I came into this, I highlighted the fact that major players are able to benefit from this volatility. I have my severe doubts that retail traders can. And so there are times when actually staying on the sidelines and just watching may make sense. I think it's one of those times now, because over the next few weeks, the level of uncertainty will, I think, continue to go higher. My own view is that we will still see the Federal Reserve lift rates higher. We're going to see more issues coming out of the regional banking crisis. It's far from over. And with higher interest rates, of course, the pressures on those banks will continue to grow. And meantime, looking at the economic situation in many countries, recession is becoming more and more a likely probability. Even in Australia, the risks of recession, to my mind, are still plain for those who want to see them. But of course, many choose not to and hope for the best. Well, hope is not a strategy, and in the current environment, I think volatility is going to rule the roost. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.